Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download Stand Well Back. Listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Hi, this is Jim White, and thanks for listening to Outspoken. Coming up in today's episode, which brings you the very best of the show, myself and Simon react to Tottenham getting knocked out of the Champions League. We ask, what does this mean for the future of Antonio Conte? And we hear from plenty of Tottenham fans who are facing another season without silverware. What is going to happen next at Tottenham? Did you think Tottenham would go out last night, Simon? I thought they might toil, but I thought they might go through.
I don't know whether I hoped they'd go through because I like Tottenham Hotspur.
Do you? I do.
I've always liked Tottenham Hotspur as a football club. I don't always like Daniel Levy's attitude sometimes, but I do like Tottenham Hotspur as a football club.
He doesn't like yours.
He does, actually.
Oh, does he?
At times.
Okay.
Like I like his at times. But the point is this, is that I did think that Tottenham would find their way to recover from the most recent form. I didn't think they would compound the issue by getting knocked out of the cup against Sheffield United, not being able to perform against Wolves, albeit they had some chances, and firing blanks in those games. And I thought that they would give their fans something to disarm them.
Yes.
And to do precisely the same as they've done in the last three games. I mean, I listened to Conte's interview last night and I just felt like kicking the television in, quite frankly.
Well, this is it. I mean, he infuriates many people with the way he speaks to the media afterwards, because you never really know what the message is that he's sending. And why send a message immediately after that? Why not talk about the performance and what actually happened on the pitch? The bigger question this morning is, will Antonio Conte see out the season with Tottenham? Simon, before we get to him, a straight question to you. What if it ends up no trophies but a top four finish? Would that be deemed a success?
Yes, in some people's eyes, yes, because ultimately getting into the Champions League is the gold standard for teams inside the Premier League. There's no guarantee that people can get inside the Champions League, and so it is an achievement in its own right, but it will not quell the noise. The noise, the stick that will endlessly beat Tottenham Hotspur, whether it's Daniel Levy or the manager in the dugout, if you don't win something, then ultimately you're in a situation where people are going to use it against you. And when you lose games, what I find inexcusable is some of the things that Conte said last night about you've got to build towards winning. I mean, what a load of old crap. You had an opportunity to build. Losing to Sheffield United was building something, was it? You should have won that game. You should still be in the FA Cup now. And people would still criticise you for getting knocked out against what is a pretty run-of-the-mill AC Milan side,
but you'd
have something to cling on to. And I do actually begin to feel that I have a bit of empathy for the Tottenham fans. I know I called some of them idiots the other day because I felt the necessity of hounding Daniel Levy out of the club, and a section of sort of hysterical fans are idiotic in their response. But I do understand that if you want to be involved in an ambitious football club, winning things are part of it. When you've got Arsenal across the town looking like they're going to win the Premier League, and you've got your team getting knocked out against Sheffield United in the FA Cup, what are you supposed to do, applaud that?
Exactly.
And it's the players too.
Yeah.
You can point at Conte. We have to listen to these multi-million pound footballers about what they're entitled to, why do they need to be coached and basically organised to be able to go on a pitch and beat a championship side. And that's no disrespect to Sheffield United, but ultimately there has to become a responsibility. It's always someone else's fault. It's always the owner's fault, or it's always the funder's fault. It's never the manager. And I have become now a major advocate for bringing Conte into his football club, a major advocate for keeping Kane and Conte to give you some success. But what is the point of an Antonio Conte if an Antonio Conte hasn't got a point?
Well, this is exactly, exactly. And that point that you've just made as well made. Milan at the moment, fifth in Serie A. Gone are the days of Hullet, Rijkaard, Van Basten, Baresi, Maldini. Gone are those days. Tottenham went into this with a real chance of getting overtaking Milan after that first leg 1-0 defeat and doing something about it, but ended up drawing 0-0. Conte said after the match, "I have a contract with Tottenham. I respect the contract. At the end of the season, assessments will be made with the club in the most serene way. Let's see how the season ends. Maybe they can send me away even earlier." What does he mean by that? What matters for a coach is trying to work and raise the bar. As you say, Simon, Sheffield United springs to mind. This year, we're struggling to raise the bar. No, you are, Antonio. Bringing the level from average to good is much simpler. Problems still arise when raising it. And then he went on to say this.
We cannot invent the win or to hope in one miracle one day that a trophy go into our training ground or into our pitch. We have to build. We have to build and to have patience. And yeah, patience. I understand that for the fans, they don't have patience because for a long time, Tottenham is not winning. In this moment, we don't have a solid foundation to be competitive, to fight, to win. Okay, in my opinion, Tottenham know very well which is my thoughts. And at the end of the season, we'll meet and then we'll make a decision.
And what does that mean? Does he want to be there?
I think it probably means that on the balance of probability, he doesn't. But he wants to reserve judgment based upon what conversations he has in the summer and perhaps what commitment Tottenham are going to put behind trying to encapsulate whatever Antonio Conte's vision is. Now, here's the question. What is Antonio Conte's vision? Because I was a major advocate of the winning mentality that I believed Antonio Conte would bring into Tottenham Hotspur. I thought he would change the culture. And I think after 15, 16 months, it's a reasonable time for him to not be saying the same things as he said when he walked through the door. You've heard this story. You cannot make a case. It's absolute crap to suggest that you need to build things and you don't just invent wins. You win against teams like Sheffield United. That's what you do. I know I'm making this about Sheffield United, but it's absolutely outrageous. These football managers take the mickey. They talk in riddles. They never answer questions. I understand the reasons why he doesn't want to talk about his contract. And I understand why he feels the necessity to bring the contract into it because the media are going to bring it into it because he's got a contract looming at the end of the season. And it's not unreasonable for him to not answer that question. And I understand that. I don't like it, but I accept it's the nature of the beast. What I don't accept and don't understand and won't condone and won't allow him to be getting away with is these things like losing in cup competitions like the FA Cup. This would quell some of the noise.
Yeah.
It would release some of the pressure. If Tottenham Hotspur were in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup now, they'd still have something to play for in the season besides a fourth spot in the Champions League. If the Tottenham fans are happy with fourth spot in the Premier League, then we are redundant in this conversation because who are we to tell Tottenham fans what they should experience?
Yeah.
I get the impression that a significant proportion of rational and irrational Tottenham fans want to see more from their side, want to see a better-looking football team and want to see something on the table.
You see, Spurs are fourth at the moment. They play Forest next, but Brighton, Liverpool and Newcastle could all overtake them. They've got games in hand. So, when it comes down to it, Simon, you know Daniel Levy. Is he going to be happy if it ends up top four but no trophy?
Economically, I would suspect yes.
Is he going to be happy this morning with what he's heard from Conte?
Well, I think he's priced in what Conte is. I think Daniel will know exactly what he's going to get from his manager. He knows what Conte's capable of saying. These football managers, you've got to realise, Jim, it's not like... I make the case about they're an employee, but when you're paying someone £15 million a year, they get to determine what they're going to do and when they're going to do it. And when you bring them in, all hail the Messiah, right? And they're not. These people are not. A lot of them are very good at what they do, but they aren't what people think they are. And it's not just me having a rant about managers. They don't do what they should do. After 16 months, Conte trotting out the same tripe is so self-unaware, it's almost beggar's belief. This is on you, pal. This is about you. Some of these guys don't seem to think that you leave places with people wanting more. You don't leave places with people wanting less. Tottenham fans must be looking at it going, well, actually, we wanted Antonio Conte. We believe he was a serious appointment. We believe that he was a serial winner. We believe he was going to change the culture. But here we are 16 months later looking at the same backstory being said.
Yeah.
And you have to suggest that Antonio Conte is a significant part of the fault mechanisms that go into place. You've now got people like Richarlison running around saying what they feel they can say because there's not enough control in that place.
Yeah.
And when Conte walks back in the building, rather than the mood go up, like Son said in the interview, we're all looking to the manager going back, it seems to be that it goes down.
And he says there, Simon, as you say, after 16 months, we don't have the foundation to compete. And well, that,
with Sheffield that United.
Has fired up. That has fired up the Tottenham fans this morning. Francis, morning Jim and Simon. For Conte to say we don't have the foundation to compete is an absolute disgrace. He's had 16 months and Levy's backed him. Now he has to go. So many Tottenham fans get in touch. Just want to say, I'm a loyal Tottenham fan, says Varney. He said, we are so tired of being Spurs fans. It's sad and now it's embarrassing. And you heard Conte well, there. We don't have the foundation to compete. What's he doing?
But in context of the Champions League, he may have a point, right? Because there are bigger and better sides.
What
not,
point?
They're not called AC Milan, right, by the way. But there were big, in the Champions League, there are far bigger teams than Tottenham Hotspur getting jettisoned from it. We seen one go out last night, PSG,
sure.
with an absolute basket full of yeah. so-called superstar footballers, right?
Yeah.
So there is a case to be added into the equation that he has a point when he's talking about specifics of the Champions League. You ain't likely to win the Champions League unless you do a little bit more outside of the pitch and inside the ballroom, right? Let's concur with
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But you can't reverse that back into a week ago when you're losing 1-0 to Wolverhampton Wanderers, you're losing 1-0 in an FA Cup to Sheffield United, you've been given a beautiful draw, you'd now be playing Blackburn in the quarterfinals and you should be doing your job and get to semi-finals and the landscape would be different. And that's where Antonio Conte suggests to me that he doesn't get the dynamics of it, doesn't care that much about the dynamics of it, getting paid far too much money for doing far too little.
Yeah.
And I'm now moving from someone that suggests and advocates, even in recent terms, that Conte and Kane are the way that you must go. Kane, yes, I think Kane will probably go in the summer now because they've got no chance of doing anything. There's no forward planning in Tottenham, it seems to me, to be able to take them to the next level. And Conte is somebody that's marking time.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
So Conte and Tottenham say goodnight, bye-bye to the Champions League last night. AC Milan progress. And sure, I've seen one or two messages coming in. You got to give Milan a bit of respect as to who Milan are. Yeah, sure. But they're not the Milan of old under any set of circumstances. Not the Milan of Baresi and Maldini and the rest of them. This is a fairly ordinary AC Milan that's not going to win Serie A. It isn't pulling up trees. But they progressed in the Champions League and Tottenham missed out in a major way last night. But how's Conte coming out of it? That's a big question. Before we take some calls, Simon, I know you've been doing some figures and some calculations. In terms of spend, have we an idea of what Daniel has done from his viewpoint?
Well, I just had a look at the spend pattern to see what they've done because the argument will be that it lands up in a boardroom and some of it does and some of it doesn't. Right? Let's be clear about that. Some of it lands in a boardroom and Daniel Levy can't extricate himself from criticism that comes at Tottenham Hotspur's way, and I never suggested he could. They spent €177 million over this season. There are a lot of people who say, well, €58 million have been attributed to Romero and we already had him in the dressing room. Well, you might have already had him in the dressing room, but you hadn't paid for him. So it comes into the equation.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is they spent €177 million. They brought in a couple of players in January. And you look at what they spent, yeah, okay, people could say Jed Spence never got into the team and a few other players haven't hit their straps.
Yeah.
But that can't then be levied in the boardroom. You can't then say that people aren't supporting people if even if you take Romero out, they still spent £120 million.
Okay, just before we go to the calls, again, and I always put you in this position, but it helps. If you're Daniel Levy this morning and you do have a 15-minute conversation with Conte, what point do you want to go over to Conte?
Look, if I'm Daniel, I'm not Daniel Levy, so I have a different personality to Daniel. Daniel's an accountant. He has an accountant's mentality and an accountant's outlook. He's a very good businessman. I think he just prices what Conte is in. I think he'll ignore what Conte says in TV interviews. In the same way that he ignored what Conte said last year when they played Burnley in the FA, one of the games that they lost.
Right, right.
And he just looked at it and felt, that's just Antonio Conte.
Yeah.
The media can speculate, they can pontificate. I'll deal with it when I want to deal with it. And Conte, and responding to what Conte said, yes, it's a waste of time. What are you going to say to him? That weren't good enough.
Yeah. So will Conte see out the season with Tottenham? Tottenham fans, you want him to see out the season. Matt, big Tottenham fan, do you want to see him see out the season? Good morning, Matt.
Hello, guys.
Morning.
To be honest, Jim, I've got no... I don't really want to talk about Conte because Conte is a top-class manager. That is not really our problem right now. Simon Jordan, mate, I tell you something, you're cut from the same cloth as that parasite that we've got at our football club, right? And I'm telling you now, you need to understand. One minute you're saying sort of things against Levy and the next thing you're turning around and blaming Conte. That's what you're doing. You're throwing...
But it's called a balanced argument, Matt, you see.
Right.
It's called a balanced argument.
Listen, there's no balanced argument about this. You've been a chairman and you know how it works, right?
Correct.
You know, from Harry Redknapp's days, this guy has continuously bought in failures to the football club. You can't keep blaming Redknapp. You can't keep blaming Poch. You can't blame Jose, a serial winner. And you can't blame a top-class coach as Antonio Conte that Tottenham are failing.
Do you think, Matt, irrespective, and your point of view is your own point of view, and of course the common denominator is Daniel. Absolutely. The common denominator is Daniel in a period of time that you've won one thing. Do you attribute the loss to Sheffield United to Daniel Levy then?
Well, OK, let me tell you something, yeah? You just said, just before I come on, you said he's a great accountant, he's a great businessman. Yep. I'm going to tell you right now, right? And I'm sorry I'm raising my voice because I don't want to swear. Mate, I tell you what, if I'm Antonio Conte, now remember, he tried to get this man previously and he refused to come to the club because he knows what he's made of. And then he bluffs him to come to the club. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you that. We know Conte won't do with Chicken Royale, won't do with Ben Davies. Eric Dyer, his name says it all. He doesn't want these sort of footballers at our
club. But hang on, Matt. I mean, you're a bit puggled here. First and foremost, he'd been raving about Eric Dyer in previous incarnations. Hang on, I'm finished. I listen to you scream at me so you can listen to me talk to you calmly, right? Levy spent 177 million quid on players, or euros, sorry. So 160 million quid. So are you suggesting that he went out just on a whim and spent 160 million quid of Tottenham Hotspur's money, not his, but Tottenham Hotspur's money, on the basis of he wanted to throw it against the wall and achieve nothing with it? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, let me ask you, okay, this question you're asking, let me throw it back to you.
Go on, then.
Dan Juma.
Yes.
Would you have bought him on loan?
I ask you the question. Is that Daniel Levy negotiating that deal, or is it Daniel Levy? Because you seem to be giving, Matt, because you've got this bee on your bonnet about Daniel Levy, which I understand the reasons for it, right? You're giving Conte a pass. Are you seriously, in all of your deranged outburst, giving Conte a pass?
Listen, mate, if I gave you that squad, do you think you can do better?
I'd like to think Conte could do better than Conte.
And Matt, getting back to Simon's original question to you, Sheffield United overcoming Tottenham the other night, that's not Levy's fault, right?
Let me ask you this question, right? And he said, going back to that bit where he says he's a good accountant and a businessman, he's going to sit in that office with Daniel Levy. Do you think Daniel Levy's going to turn around and go, oh yeah, mate, I want you to win the FA Cup this year. Don't worry about it, Paul. Just focus on getting the FA Cup. I can tell you for nothing, he told him, priority is top four, don't worry about the FA Cup. And that's the reason why these people behave like that. Because Daniel Levy is all about top four. He don't care about anything.
Well, then your logic will follow through, right? There's no chance, right, that Pochettino will come back to Spurs, right? No chance.
Mate, he's got to be deluded.
Come back to Spurs, Matt, what are you going to say then?
Listen, it's all about the money. Let's be honest.
No. Get away from everything. It's Daniel Levy. And listen, I empathise with you. I wrote a column the other week talking about Daniel's necessity to be able to put more money behind the football team. I think sometimes Daniel saves a pound to lose a fiver. So I'm in your camp. I'm just not going down the rabbit hole with you that everything that Daniel Levy does is absolutely dreadful. Because there's a section of your fan base will also recall the fact that Tottenham were a football club that was potentially insolvent for a long period of time. So you've got financial stability. You're not utilising it. But go back to my question, Matt, because you might not want to answer it, but I'm going to try and push you to answer it. What would be your answer, let me finish, if Pochettino comes back, given the fact that Toxic Dan is the same person he's going to be working with?
Right. Well, OK, I'm telling you right now, this guy come to our football club, yeah? He was told, first thing, come and start playing the Spurs way. This guy did more than get him to play the Spurs way. He pushed us and got us into the Champions League with a good set of players.
Wonderful. That's not why I asked you, Dan. That's not why I asked you, Matt. If he comes back, what do you say then? Because given your logic that everyone knows what Daniel Levy is and he burns everybody else and he's a complete... You guys seem to be in this binary mode that unless I turn around and say that Daniel Levy is absolute dog and absolute crap, that I cannot have at a balanced point of view. I do believe that on his watch, Tottenham Hotspur should have done much more. I do concur with your views about the fact that Tottenham Hotspur should be trying to win things and clearly they're not. But on the same token, what would you have? Do you want Middle Eastern ownership? Is that what you want?
In a couple of sentences, Matt, round it off. In a couple of sentences, we've got to go at the bulletin. But think of what you want to say and round it off.
Listen, just quickly, right, Daniel Levy hasn't failed to spend money He's just spent money and bought a lot of trash footballers to our football club. That's what Daniel, and you've mentioned that earlier, but the bottom line is, regardless, if he, I'm just one, yeah, because you've got to remember, we're getting older, mate. I'm 51 years of age.
We sure are. I was a lot younger at the start of this call. Matt, listen, thank you for the call.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hard-edged, hard-nosed, hard to beat. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Conte last night post-match. Tottenham go out the Champions League. Massive opportunity. I know the Milan are champions of Italy. Sure, I know. But they're not the Milan of old. This was a real chance for Tottenham last night. But he says last night, let's see how the season ends. Maybe they can send me away even earlier. What does he mean by that? And do you want him around the place? That's the bottom line. 03717-223-344. Sammy, before again we go to Nick, who's a Tottenham fan who's waited patiently, why is Tottenham a club where elite managers seemingly go and lose their stardust? I'm thinking, Mourinho, Conte's doing it, but maybe Pochettino did it.
But timing's everything. First of all, when Pochettino came into Tottenham, he wasn't an elite manager. He was becoming a very good manager, and they took him out of Southampton. And so he was on a journey, and that journey proved to be something that looked like success. Don't forget, you know, Pochettino lost semi-finals and FA Cups that they should and could have won. And then you look at the two guys that would give you that scenario that you've just characterised, which is superstar managers coming in there. We know that Mourinho is not the Mourinho that came into 2004 with Chelsea. That's not the same guy that rocked into Tottenham, despite the fact that I still think he's a very good manager. And I'm beginning to unwind the viewpoint that I have in Conte, because I understand the ranting and raving. I don't think it's great to go around calling people parasites, because you're not entirely right. But you're entitled to a view. Football brings out emotions in people. I don't think you bring your best foot forward by screaming at people, but that's how Matt wants to behave. That's up to him. But the bottom line is that Conte's had 16 months. You cannot just say that Levy is the only reason why. That group of players shouldn't be knocked out of an FA Cup. That group of players probably shouldn't lose to AC Milan. Now, they're not going to go much past the quarterfinals because they're far better sides inside the Champions League,
yeah,
and that's
true,
fair enough.
True, yeah.
But the bottom line is that every time Tottenham lose, they'll be coming out of the woodwork, this group of Tottenham fans like Matt, that will attribute everything to Daniel Levy and to Joe Lewis. And to some of it, they have some merit. Most of it is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. Many people getting in touch. Another Matt, I don't think it's the same one, thank goodness. Jim, Simon, me and my son took 2 days off work to drive to the game last night from Devon. Season ticket holders, this is what we're served up. We'll be there again this Saturday, but why are we wasting time and money following this draw? Well, only you know the answer to that, Matt. Nick is a big Spurs fan. Nick, good morning. You've been waiting. What do you want to say? Conte, where do you stand with it?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks very much for having me on, and particularly like listening to Simon's opinions.
Thank you.
Well, I think that Conte doesn't really want to be there. I looked at him last night. He still looks pale. His family are probably saying to him, why on earth are you going back there? If I was Daniel Levy, I'd give him these two games before the international break, Southampton and Forest, and then make the break. Everybody knows he's not going to be there next season. He's too inflexible with his system. 10 years ago, when Spurs first in the Champions League, the width was provided by Lennon and Bale. Last night, it was Emerson Royale and Perisic. We haven't got the players to play three at the back or five at the back. If he chose another system, he'd be able to incorporate Richarlison. A lot of people see Richarlison as a flop, but the real facts are, if you added up the minutes he'd been on the pitch, it only equates to about 7 games. I'm not in the anti-Levy brigade because, as Simon put before the break, he's actually ploughed in quite a bit of money, and you've got a £1 billion stadium that was empty for a year. It's all very well a lot of fans saying, look, we want to buy big, we want to buy big. These days, if you're talking about buying big, Chelsea have bought Fernandes, an untested, almost untried young midfielder for £105 million plus his wages. So you've got to get in the real world. But really, I don't think Conte wants to be there. And I think the best thing would be to have a sensible conversation, give him Forest and Southampton, say, go out on a high. And I bet his family have welcomed him back with open arms.
Nick,
he probably just feels obliged.
You're so congratulations on coming on and being so level-headed, Simon. I notice you've been nodding to a lot of what Nick says. You're very measured, Nick. But nonetheless, does the exit last night exasperate you?
Yes, it does. It does. And, over the last week, I mean, and from the Sheffield United Cup defeat. But you've got to look at the players as well. I mean, we should have been able to beat Sheffield United even without Kane because we had got Brazil's number nine. But the players seem to go there thinking, oh, we've beaten Chelsea, we've beaten West Ham. But with the greatest respect to them, they're both having poor seasons.
Yes.
And I think they just sort of got off the coach, got on the pitch and thought, oh, we just got to see out 90 minutes and we'll be in the draw.
You like what Simon does. Here is Simon briefly.
Well, I think what the consideration will be for Tottenham, and if I read the room in the way that I would read the room with what Daniel will do, is the best interests of Tottenham Hotspur to get in the top four. That's what's left of their season. That's what's left of the financial opportunities they have to continue to patronise a manager, whether it's Conte or whether it's someone else coming in during the summer. What they'll do is they'll take a pragmatic decision if Conte is indeed going out the door and we can walk through the enigma and the riddle that he puts in front of us. They will look at what is the best way to get in the top four this season. Is the best way to amputate and get rid of Conte and put someone back in, and if that's Pochettino, that is what it is. Or is it that they can get some sort of understanding in the next three games, which, by the way, they should be looking to get 9 points out of? If you're playing Nottingham Forest, you're playing Southampton, you're playing Everton, albeit the last two games are away from home, you should be at least looking to get 7 points out of those games. You get 7 points out of those games, you start to solidify yourself in the top four.
Yeah.
The only consideration for Tottenham Hotspur now, Daniel Levy, would be what gets us in the top four. If it's with Conte, fine, we'll suffer his nonsense for 3 or 4 months. If it isn't with Conte, who's going to do it and what's the outcome look like? That's all they'll be pricing
Nick,
in now.
Nick, thank you so much for your time and the points that you raised. David, I'm going to squeeze you in before the break. David, big Tottenham fan, what do you want to say? Conte, you haven't him any longer.
No, not remotely. I was just listening to Simon then, and he makes a good point, but I don't think the players want to play for Conte anymore because the riddles that he spouts out after every single match is just ridiculous, and it's having such a negative impact on the whole Tottenham fan base and all Tottenham players. Last night, the tactics were absolutely awful. We're playing AC Milan. We start off, we're already 1-0 down, and we've made no impact in trying to attack them, and we just let them keep the ball for 90 minutes. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. David, a good friend of mine, you'll know him if I was to say who he was, but he's just getting in touch with me. Jim, you need to emphasise to the Tottenham fans as well that a bit of perspective's needed here. AC Milan are the champions of Italy. But nonetheless, David, I still thought, and probably you did, that at 1-0, Tottenham had more than a fighting chance to go through.
They're not AC Milan of 10 years ago with Maldini and all of them. It's a nonsensical comment. At the end of the day, we're meant to have one of the best three up front in Kulu, Kane and Son. And, you know, they did nothing. And it's so frustrating. And also, just on a side note, I feel so sorry for Dan Juma. He must be thinking, what the hell did I sign here for? We've given him no opportunity, no chance. He's come on for 10 minutes against Preston, scores, and we've not seen him again since.
Yes.
What was the absolute point of that? Conte just Conte doesn't know if he's coming or going. He's just messing around with the squad, messing around with the team. There's only one man that can work under the system that is Tottenham, and it is, you know, it is Pochettino. You know, he's proven it before. Get young players in, he makes them better. I'll ask any Tottenham fan to tell me one player since Conte joined us that he's made a better player out of.
So in a word, David, you would want Pochettino back?
I think he's the only one that can work with, you know, it's not Daniel Levy's fault we lost last night. I'm sick of hearing that all nonsense about Daniel Levy.
Okay, oh, David.
Levy's fault we lost.
Well, you're preaching to the converted and Simon, I think, in that one. David, thank you very much indeed. Is this the wrong time to say that you're going at the weekend to see Tottenham? Oops, I've just said
it. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Danger. Flammable exchanges ahead. Outspoken with White and Jordan from the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back each weekday to bring you the best of the show.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.